Welcome back in to the David L. Gray Show, voicing truth and reason. Have a wonderful show for you today. Dr. Ralph Martin, he will be on shortly, his first time on the show. And something important I wanted to talk about with him, something I think is a crisis in the church today. No, it's not wildfires burning and causing smoke. Though that is an issue, and it's not people running for election getting arrested. No, that is an issue, but this is something more serious, something I think touches upon a lot of people's lives that I want to speak with Dr. Ralph Martin about. So we're going to do that. Before we get started, make sure you guys hit that like, that share, that notification bell, all that good stuff. If you're listening on iTunes, please leave me a good review. Shout out to all the sponsors whose names are scrolling below. We got a couple ways for you to support the show. If you would like, just click on the links below. You can join using Patreon, which makes you a lifetime member of St. Dominic's Media. It makes you a hound of heaven, gives you access to all of our courses and all of our exclusive content. And also, there is the Patreon. Now, that's the same thing. Yep, the Patreon gets you access to St. Dominic's Media. But there's the YouTube membership. The YouTube membership. If you join a YouTube member, you get access to all the content that I have for members only, all the videos I've been making since 2010. So about 200 of them approaching there. So if you want to find out what I said about something back in 2010, if that interests you, the YouTube membership is the way to do it. It's only $2 a month. So a way for you to support the show. Keep it going. But without further ado, let's get into the show.
Hovering over the skies of a post-Christian society, we have spotted a man with a donut in one hand and rosary beads in another.
Child, I'm about to whoop Satan's behind.
He is boldly proclaiming truth and reason like no rigid Catholic ever has before. The David L. Gray Show begins now.
Dr. Ralph Martin is an internationally recognized leader in the Catholic renewal movement. He was raised in the Catholic Church, but fell away from religion as a youth. He reconverted to the Catholic faith by way of Priscilla, as a retreat he attended as a college student. Among many accomplishments and Vatican appointments and honors today, Dr. Martin is the president of Renewal Ministries, an organization devoted to Catholic renewal and evangelization. And he's also a professor at Sacred Heart Major Seminary and Franciscan University, and has authored several books. Most recently, I believe, is A Church in Crisis, Pathways Forward. The summary book is The Culture and the Church Are Experiencing Significant Confusion and Division Right Now. How can we understand what is happening? How can we stand strong, confident, and joyful in our midst? You can hear more about him, hear him speak probably more often on the Renewal Ministries YouTube channel. I'm subscribed to it. You should subscribe to it as well. Really great content. But now, he's on the David L. Gray Show. Welcome in, Dr. Martin.
Well, David, good to be with you. We've had a little trouble connecting through our time zones, but here we are.
Yeah, I'm finally happy to get you on the show. It's been my my esteemed pleasure to finally connect in and have you here. Franciscan University, Steubenville, correct?
That's correct, yeah. I actually don't teach there right now. I was teaching there in the summer, but we started our own summer sessions at Sacred Heart Seminary, so I can't teach at Franciscan anymore.
Yeah, that'd be difficult. Yeah. So I don't know if our channels or our audiences have a whole lot of overlap. I mean, I did introduce you, but I just want to give just a touch on your background because we don't have a whole lot of time. But I just want to let my audience know. So, what are the things that you've been focusing on with Renewal Ministry?
Yeah, well, we call it evangelization, renewal, holiness, and we're just basically trying to help as many people as possible come to know Jesus, commit their lives to him, be filled with the Spirit, commit themselves to a life of holiness, and commit themselves to bringing the message of salvation to others. So We have a weekly television program on EWTN, which is the longest running program, Catholic program. We have two daily Catholic radio programs. We have the YouTube channel. And then we do mission work in about 40 different countries. We just had a team come back from Uganda, amazing things happening there. And we just have teams, we have another team in the Czech Republic right now and another team just heading out to Tanzania in Africa. Wow. So just trying to strengthen the church however we can, help as many people as possible come to Christ, stay with Christ. Mm.
Yeah, that's why I've always been impressed with your ministry, because just I know you guys like do the footwork. I mean, you have... you're actually being a Eucharistic people in the world, living the faith in the world and helping people how you can meet them and encounter them. I just always really been impressed by that. A lot of people talk, but few do, but Renewal Ministries does. One thing that I want to speak with you about today though, was, I had went on a pilgrimage to Lourdes. Well, I've went to a few places. It was like a 10-day pilgrimage to some different holy sites. And when I was headed there, a lot of my followers on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, they were asked, I asked them, how can I pray for you? And Dr. Martin, I was just taken aback by how many people were asking my wife and I to pray for their grandchildren and children who have fallen away from the faith. Mm-hmm. And around that same time, I had saw a video you had made about this subject. And I'm going to play a clip here, and I want to get your thoughts on it, okay?
Sure. Show you this headline. American teen girls engulfed in growing wave of sadness and violence and trauma. From the Center for Disease Control, this is a government study. And this is some of the statistics. 57% of teen girls said they felt persistently sad or hopeless. 40% of boys and girls say that they felt so sad or hopeless within the previous year that they were unable to do their regular activities, such as schoolwork or sports, for at least 2 weeks. 52% of teens who identified as gay, lesbian, bisexual, or questioning say they struggled with mental health. 30% of teen girls say they have seriously considered dying by suicide, a percentage that's risen nearly 60% over the last decade. 22% of LGBTQ plus teens say they attempted suicide within the previous year. Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts when you said a whole lot of thing in a whole lot of, you contextualize like the whole thing, the video, you get some solutions, you help us understand why that is, but what were your thoughts, now, after you've published the video, what are some of your thoughts that are still circulating in your head about this issue? And what insights do you have?
Yeah, well, our experience is very much similar to yours, David. Most of the people who write to us with prayer concerns, some are healing, some, sickness, some, this, that, and the other thing, marriage problems. But many of them are very heartbroken to see their sons and daughters whom they tried to raise in the faith. And, one of the most painful things they say, well, gee, I sacrificed to send my children to Catholic schools and they lost their faith there. They had professors who undermined their confidence in sacred scripture. They had professors there that said, oh, come on, the church is hung up on sexual morality. We need to accommodate to the culture. So, really heartbreaking things. And so that's happening in a very widespread way. Yeah. A lot of things that we used to be able to depend on as support in raising our children, we can't depend on anymore. Like I grew up in a town in northern New Jersey, almost equally divided between Protestants, Jews, and Catholics. And everything shut down on Sunday. Everybody supported the Ten Commandments. Everybody didn't live in it, but everybody was horrified when people didn't live by it. And everybody supported a basic respect for God. And our culture has so radically changed. Not only is it not supporting relationship with God, not only is it not supporting basic common sense morality, but most of the levers of power and influence in our culture today are in the hands of people who are hostile to Christ and the church and really want to kind of elevate human beings to God, no longer accepting God's purpose and plan for us, but rebelling, basically rebellion. A large part of the human race today is rebellion against God, you know? And it doesn't help but that the church itself has been infiltrated by this, that that just the moment when the church needs to speak a clear, strong, confident word about God's will for the human race and God's love for the human race and Jesus, it's divided and there's confusion. And we have leading church people kind of teaching things that are not true. And so this really is a really, really tough situation.
Is the onus on us Catholics in that regard? Because you mentioned that a few times there, that the ways in which we failed as Catholics, as a church, is our, the leaders of our institutions, a lot of failure there. But when we look at the world today and we see, just like, you know, oftentimes, Dr. Martin, I call it a post-truth society. It's just,
yeah,
it's just, it was, I think it was post-Christian at one time, but now it's just like post-truth. I mean, how much culpability do we have as Catholics in this whole thing, as a organizational, as a church?
Yeah. Incidentally, I like the theme of your show, Truth and Reason. Those are good things. Truth and reason are good things. And quite honestly, I think now that there's been so much ground lost that Catholics need to now up their game. They need to take personal responsibility for really answering the question for themselves, who do you say he is? Just a cultural attachment to being a Catholic isn't strong enough to stand against the tide that's coming or the persecution that's coming. And so people have to take personal responsibility for really deepening the relationship with the Lord. We're not going to be able to remain faithful just by a Catholic culture. We need to have a personal loyalty to Christ. We need to have a deep love for Christ. And we need to take responsibility for knowing who he is and what he teaches. And I think one of the top priorities for Catholics today is recovering our confidence in the inspiration and inerrancy of sacred scripture. We need to really trust the word of God, or we're just adrift in a sea of competing claims. And so a lot of Catholics have never understood what the Catholic Church teaches about sacred scripture. Vatican II, it says, God is the primary author of sacred scripture. He works through human instruments with their own culture and mentality. But then it says in section 11, everything asserted by the sacred authors should be considered to be asserted by the Holy Spirit and to teach firmly, faithfully, and without error those truths which God wished to consign to the sacred writings for the sake of our salvation. So our salvation depends on knowing the truth. And that truth is revealed to us in sacred scripture. It's guarded by the tradition of the church. Yeah. We find it in the catechism of the Catholic Church. And so Catholics need to take responsibility for knowing what's been revealed to us for our salvation and knowing where to go to get answers when they hear competing things being said, even by church leaders.
Yeah, that's a great point, because there is a lot of competing things out there, especially in recently we've seen a wave of people responding to, it seems like there may be some segments of society perhaps just had enough of these notions that what we see is not what we see. And these notions that, you know, and I work in a school, and, you know, in the military, even there, you know, as soon as June 1st hit, I was amazed to see kids under 12 just running around with flags. You know, they call them pride flags, you know, or lesbian flags. It's just kids. And I was
it's just child abuse. It's really child abuse. That's what it is. It's wicked, wicked child abuse.
And we let it stand, though. And so when you come at this, I have to agree with you, obviously, you know, that what Jesus Christ taught, what the Holy Spirit has inspired in the scriptures, is true. It's irrefutable. It's axiomatic. We can stand on it. But what is the weakness, though, of that, or what is the crisis that parents face when they do have to send their kids out into the world, right? Yeah. And I think that's the struggle that we're hearing, that, and as you said, they prepared them, they raised them, they think they, you know, and I think there's a deep hurt there, right? And that there's they're feeling like personal failure as well. I think that's what I'm hearing, and that the pain is there. Like, what more could I have done? How, I mean, is that, I mean, is that, I mean, should parents feel that way, or was it, well, or they send them out into the, like, the wilderness in, you know, unprepared? Could they have done more? Well, how should they feel?
Yeah, well, I think different parents should feel different ways, depending on what their story is.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, a lot of Catholic parents have instilled in their children a primary value of being successful in the world, making a lot of money, getting a good job, getting into good colleges. And the faith's been there, but it hasn't been like at the center. And a lot of times they haven't seen their parents set a good example. Like the parents would say, yeah, we'll go to church sometimes, that type of thing. But the children have gotten the signal that this really isn't the most important thing in their life. And so it's not going to be the most important thing in their life either. So that's one thing. Mm. Now there's other parents. So those parents should repent. They should repent for not putting Jesus first in their family, for not communicating that as the primary value for their children, for not sacrificing if necessary to send their children to solid Catholic schools, for not paying attention to what's going on in the schools and not allowing their children to be victimized by the indoctrination and brainwashing that's going on. Yeah. Other parents have, yes, had Christ as the center of their life and the center of their family, and their children nevertheless have drifted off. And I think that's where church leadership needs to take some responsibility, because a lot of times the church hasn't supported godly parents, and they've allowed teachers to teach in Catholic schools and Catholic universities that aren't themselves a witness to the faith, don't believe it, and communicate that attitude to the children. I mean, I think, you know, there's a lot of concerns about the clergy sex abuse scandal, you know, in various places.
Yeah.
But I think there's even a bigger scandal where bishops and pastors have allowed people to teach who are not teaching the faith, who are teaching skepticism, who are teaching doubt, who are teaching moral permissiveness. And particularly in the area of marriage and sexuality today, where this is the point of the culture that it's coming against us, is trying to destroy the family and the church. We've got to get really clear that it's not rocket science. God created us male and female for the purpose of coming together in a holy marriage, open to life. That's it. That's the plan. Any deviation from that is offensive to God and damaging to people. So any exercise of genital sexuality outside of holy marriage is offensive to the Lord. And not only that, it endangers our salvation.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't hear what God's word is telling us about how sacred this area is. Like 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says, don't let anybody deceive you. The immoral will not enter the kingdom of God. Yeah. And then he goes on to say, the fornicator, the adulterer, the person who engages in homosexual behavior, the thief, the robber, the drunkard. So, you know, obviously repentance for all these things is very possible. God's mercifully calling people to repent. But if people believe that what they're doing is right, they're wrong. You know, it's not the truth. And they're endangering their salvation. They're hurting other people. And so we just need to kind of get clear in our heads what the truth is about marriage and sexuality, and teach that to our children and live it ourselves. And, you know, it's important, and it's not rocket science. It's clear. It's clearly revealed to us. And our culture is going off the cliff. I think there's incredible medical malpractice going on.
Yeah.
Doctors are doing surgery and hormone treatment without even looking into the psychological disturbance that's there and treating that. And it's absolutely false that people are going to be happy by denying how God created them rather than working through the issues that are disturbing them and causing gender dysphoria. Changing your gender is not the answer.
Yeah. And I think they do want to, I think, you know, they do want to be happy, because I think we were created for happiness, obviously.
Yeah.
And I think the liturgy of the Catholic Mass, it puts us on a sure path to be happy, to be blessed. There's that whole relationship between law and blessing that we see in the Mass. But I completely understand if people aren't raised in a way, or if they deny just certain first principles, I can understand how they can try to find happiness on their own outside of God. And I think the obvious problem, I think, is that we just don't think about consequences. And the reason why I say that, I want to ask you this question, that you know, we live in a world, for the last 50 or so years, we've at least in the United States, we've told people that what is clearly abnormal is normal. We've told them that it's okay to kill a child in a womb, even in the most gruesome way, to slaughter a child in a womb. Mm-hmm. We say, that's normal. We've told them that pornography, which is all types of, so many different types of abuses that happens there. It's the number one industry in a lot of places in the world. It's a huge profit center. We've told them that's normal. And so when we living in a society where we've kept communicating these messages, and as they've been sort of ingrained in the culture now, these things are sort of cultural. What is the response, would you say, for parents? I mean, Dr. Martin, what I'm thinking is that it's sad that we would have to tell parents, you have to be courageous to tell the truth. Why should that be courageous in today's society? But some things, like I said, become so abnormal that to offer a counter message, you have to be courageous.
Unfortunately, that's true. Now, one of the things that shocks me in the book of Revelation, it talks about the second death. You know, Jesus said, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body, but rather be afraid of he can kill body and soul in hell. And then Jesus also says, if you're ashamed of me before people, I'm going to be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. And then when you look at the second death in the book of Revelations, you know, what's the second death is eternal separation from God. Yeah. You know, Jesus says a Christian doesn't have to be scared about the first death, because if you're living in friendship with Christ and you open your soul to his mercy, you're going to be with him forever, even if it involves some additional purification. You're saved. But and then it talks about those who die unrepentant. And in the lake of fire, it says the liars are there. People have kind of made lying part of their identity and never repent. And then cowards are there. I was kind of shocked when I saw that cowards are in the lake of fire. So yes, we have to step up. We have to up our game. We have to kind of take more responsibility. We have to ask the Lord to give us courage. We have to repent of fearing people more than God. Mm. You know, one of the big sicknesses in the church right now is priests and bishops are fearing what people are going to think, what the media is going to think, you know, what big donors are going to think. And they need to think about what God is going to think. Yeah. They need to think, you know, what's going to happen when before the judgment seat of Christ? Wow. You know, we need to fear God more than people.
You were a young man when you returned back to the church. You were in college, but now you interact with young people, obviously now in a university setting. So what was there for you that you were able to have that metanoia, that opportunity for conversion?
Yeah.
Was there something there in that climate that was made it something that was, I guess, advantageous for people of that time that's missing today? Or is it still there? Is there still the opportunity for young men to convert?
Well, the climate didn't help me. It was the 60s, and a lot of the same stuff that's going on today started going on then. What helped me was somebody really cared about my soul and just insisted that I make this Christian retreat. Mm. And I didn't want to do it, but I did it just out of friendship. I'd say these days, people would say, he was harassing you. He was. Thank God he was harassing me. And on that retreat, I heard a presentation of the gospel, and I just began to feel like Jesus they were talking about was actually present there, and I needed to make a response to him. And it was a struggle, but I knew that the only sensible response to make to Jesus is unconditional surrender. He's the Lord. If he's the Lord, that's it. You know, the only thing that matters is finding out who he is and what he wants and doing his will. So that was really important. So I saw the same thing is available to people. There's like retreats, there's movements, there's various evangelization programs. But I also want to say something that that was really important on that retreat is that they enlisted a whole bunch of people to pray and offer sacrifice that our hearts would be open to the grace of God.
Yeah.
So I think what Mary said at Fatima is so important. She showed the children a vision of hell. And now a lot of modern religious educators say, horrible, she shouldn't do that. You mean she scared the children? That's terrible. I'm going with Mary. She wanted this 17-year-old girl, this 9-year-old boy, and this 10-year-old girl to know that this is not a game, that souls are really at stake, that there really is a heaven, there really is a hell, and it really matters how you live. And what happened as a result of them seeing a vision of hell is they became totally focused on praying for the salvation of souls. And then they began to offer sacrifice to kind of sort of enhance their prayer, so to speak. And, you know, Matthew's gospel says some of these demons are only cast out by prayer and fasting. Yeah. And at a certain point in one of the apparitions of Mary, she said, so many souls are going to hell because so few people are willing to pray and offer sacrifice for them. So this is something that every parent can do. If you're concerned about your children's salvation, you need to not just be praying for them, but to also offer sacrifice. Put a little flesh into the game. Give up some desserts. Give up some alcohol. Give up some sugar in your coffee. Do bread and water for a day or two. Just do some sacrifice that kind of shows God your deep concern for the salvation of your children. And keep at it until they come back to him. And if they don't come back to him even before you die, which may be the case for some grandparents or whatever, it's not over till it's over. Your intercession on the other side is going to be even more powerful than your intercession on this side. So you're going to keep interceding for your children even on the other side. So where there's life, there's hope.
That's such a wonderful message. I'm glad you wrapped up the conversation in that way. Because as you were talking, I was hearing those things. I was hearing, you know, prayer, fasting, you know, being persistent in prayer, being like the widow who kept approaching the judge. You know, I kept hearing these themes. But then how you just wrapped it up, that even beyond a grave, you know, there, I think there's only one thing, you know, that extends beyond a grave. That's love, because we never stop loving.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing. Obviously the one thing those who are on their way to the beatific vision take with them, that love. And so and one thing that love is not apathetic, right? So it's the opposite of apathy. And so it just keeps pushing and keep going. So
Right. Good. Well, David, thank you for having me on, and thank you for trying to respond to the pain of people who are agonizing over their children. And pray and fast. There's hope. Look for opportunities to invite them to things like I got invited to.
Yeah. And before we head out, Dr. Martin, how can we pray for you?
Well, I'm doing a lot of traveling these days, and I just need to kind of keep listening to the Lord about what he wants to say in different situations. But of course, I got my own prayer list of people who are dying, people who are sick, you know. So I don't want to take people's prayer away from their primary concerns for me. But if they could say one short little prayer when they watch this video, that's fine. They don't need to keep on praying for me. Not because I don't need it, but I don't want to steal prayer from other people.
Awesome. Well, we will pray for all the blessings, graces that you need most. And thanks again for coming on the David O. Gray Show, voicing truth and reason.
Okay. Thank you.